And welcome to Myerstown Church of the Brethren on this wintry day. Yes. No trouble getting here this morning, so we're good. A couple of announcements before we come into our time of worship. This week we are praying for the folks on page 29 in the new church directory. Okay, now if you haven't picked up your new church directory yet, they're in the mailboxes, so you might want to stop by your mailbox and pick that up. Also, we're praying for New Beginnings Church of the Brethren in the Mannheim area, and the Nuevo Amacer Church of the Brethren is praying for us. Whitey Noggle had knee replacement surgery this week. He's doing well, but keep Whitey in your prayers as he recovers from that surgery. And you'll notice in your bulletin there's a card shower request for Jack Gray. Jack also had knee replacement surgery about 2 or 3 weeks ago. Talked to Faye, and he's kind of down, and he has a birthday coming up, so we thought maybe a card shower might be nice for him. So if you could remember him with a card. Address is in the church directory, but it's also in the bulletin. Also, a reminder that out on the counter in the gathering place is a sign-up sheet for Easter lilies and also for the Women's Fellowship potato filling sale. Bible study tomorrow evening at 7, that will be online again. So not too late to join us on our Ephesians study if you'd like to do that. The information how to connect is in the bulletin. It's good to be together in the house of the Lord this morning. Let's come into an attitude of worship as Barb leads us.
morning.
Good morning.
Happy Valentine's Day. I'm so happy that I can be up here with my Valentine this morning. I really thought this little message from ministry and evangelism in the bulletin was really nice, so I just wanted to quick read it. Today is Valentine's Day. May this be your special day. To bring joy to someone today, let them know you love them. Remember, our great God loves us all. He loved us since the world began, and he always will. We also reach out to you in love. We're going to start with a reading. Greg's going to have a reading called God's Love.
Good morning. God's love for you is deeper and more profound than you can fathom. And now, precisely because you are a wondrous creation treasured by God, a question presents itself. What will you do in response to God's love? Will you ignore it or embrace it? Will you return it or neglect it? The decision, of course, is yours and yours alone. When you embrace God's love, you are forever changed. When you embrace God's love, you feel differently about yourself, your neighbor, and your world. When you embrace God's love, you share his message and you obey his commandments. When you accept the Heavenly Father's grace and share his love, you are blessed here on earth and throughout all eternity. Accept his love today. And for those who are able, please stand so we can call to worship in unison.
Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth that I desire other than you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever.
You could please keep standing for those who are able, and this morning's hymn is When Morning Gilds the Skies.
Let us pray. Oh, and we will be doing the Lord's Prayer at the end. O Lord, our God, we gather together today to give you thanks and praise your greatness. We praise your mighty works to the whole world. We praise you for your wonderful deeds. Your power is limitless. Your wisdom is unparalleled. Your grace is overwhelming. Your love is never failing. You promised that you will never leave or forsake us. Let us worship you in spirit and truth. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
And may we sit, please, and enjoy today's music ministry by Pastor Dennis and Kathy.
Thank you so much. That was beautiful. As we come to our Lord in prayer, I just had one another person that has been on my mind a lot. It's one of Greg and my dear friends. Her name is Deb Brandt, and she has been battling complications of COVID for, well, I think she actually had COVID like back near Thanksgiving, but she's been in the hospital since around Christmas time. And she was at the Good Sam, and now she's over at York. And yeah, she's just been having a really rough time. So if you can keep her in your prayers as well. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much that we can be here today, just here to worship you and honor you and just hear about your word. You know, we live in a free country and we can gather here without persecution, and that is awesome. There's so many people in this world that cannot do that. We are so fortunate. But be with those that are here today. Just give them a blessing. Just think of all of our blessings. We are so blessed. We can come out and we can come and worship. We have our health. We have so many blessings. Let's share our blessings with others. Be with those that are sick and that are hurting. All those in the bulletin, those that have had surgery, those that have other ailments. Just be with them and give them strength and comfort. Be with those that are away or on vacation. Please return them safely. And also be with those that have no desire to be here to come and worship. May their eyes be opened and see that you are the way and the truth and the light. Please, Lord, help us to trust in you and to put our faith in you, Lord. You know what's best for us, even when we don't listen and sometimes go against your will. Just please help us to be more obedient. Now let's quiet our heads and open our hearts in preparation for the message, that we may learn something or take something away to apply to our daily lives. And you are an awesome God. May we praise you each and every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now we're going to sing the hymn, The Love of God. If you can stand, let's stand and sing.
Thank you.
invite the children to come up and spend some time with me up front here this morning. I'm going to come down and join you this morning, okay? Wow. This is amazing. Yeah. What's the matter, Kendallin? You want your what? Mom or Dad? So, I'm going to ask you guys over here to tell me who you are. Can you tell me your names?
I'm Tristan.
Tristan.
I'm Riley.
Riley? Okay.
Benjamin.
Benjamin.
Emma.
Okay. Welcome. So good to have you up here this morning. So, tell me, today's a special day, right? Yeah. What day is today? Valentine's Day, yes. Okay, Valentine's Day. So, what kind of things do we do on Valentine's Day? What do you know?
We show that we love them.
We show people that we love them, yes, we do. This morning, my wife gave me a card that tells me that she loves me. Yesterday, I sent her and my daughter, Erin, some flowers to let them know that I love them. Did you get anything for Valentine's today from your mom and dad, maybe, to say that they love you?
Something.
You got what? You got daddy something. Ah, wonderful. Yes. How many of you got your mom or dad something for Valentine's Day? Anybody? Yeah, okay. Very good. Very good. Valentine's Day is a day that we remember, that we show people how much we love them. But it's also, this year is kind of interesting because Valentine's Day falls on a Sunday. So it's a good time to remind us that not just that we love each other so much, but God loves us too. God loves us very much. In fact, in the Bible, Jesus says, "A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you." Jesus says he loves us so very, very much. He does. He loves us very, very, very much. And that's something that we can remember on this Valentine's Day, too. So to let you guys know that we here at the church love each one of you, Grace here has something she wants to share with you today.
I want to let you know how love is shed around. I cook at the rescue mission every Thursday. When I came in there one day, Jen said to me, "Grace, I got 4 cases of teddy bears. Just look." So I gave 1 case to a church over here that they're giving to the children just like we are today. And I think it's a blessing that we can share this type of thing with the children and share God's love. And I was thanking you for that song. I couldn't find it in the book, "The Love of God." And you had it this morning. So I'm going to give the children over here. I tell you what happened, boys and girls. I didn't bring enough along for this many children. So I'm going to give them to the visitors. And what's left, I'll give to our church children. And I will give you yours later. Would you want to come up and get a teddy bear? God loves you. And we love you. There you are. Every time you squeeze this teddy bear, you can think that God loves you. Okay, all right. And the other ones that are from our church, I have 3 here. And then I'll give the other children theirs next Sunday. Where's all here, honey? Where's one of the other little ones?
Over here.
Yeah. Okay, so you enjoy your teddy bears. And like I said, next Sunday I will give the rest to the children that are here today.
Thank you, Grace. Let's say prayer together, okay? God, we thank you so much for these children, and we thank you for their families that love them and the way they might have shown mom and dad how much they love them today. But especially today, God, we thank you for your love for us. That is just amazing. And we just pray that you would bless each one of these children as they learn and grow in your love. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. You can go to Children's Church, okay? You guys can follow them. They know where to go, okay? Yes. Good. Okay.
That was great to see so many kids up here today. Now I'm going to read the scripture, and this is taken from Mark 14, 1 through 11. It was 2 days before the Passover and the festival of unleavened bread. The chief priests and the scribes were looking for a way to arrest Jesus by stealth and kill him, for they said, "Not during the festival, or there may be a riot among the people." While he was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very costly ointment of nard, and she broke open the jar and poured the ointment on his head. But some were there who said to one another in anger, "Why was the ointment wasted in this way? For this ointment could have been sold for more than 300 denarii and the money given to the poor." And they scolded her. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has performed a good service for me, for you always have the poor with you, and you can show kindness to them whenever you wish, but you will not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for its burial. Truly, I tell you, wherever the good news is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told in remembrance of her." Then Judas Iscariot, who was one of the 12, went to the chief priests in order to betray him to them. When they heard it, they were greatly pleased and promised to give him money. So he began to look for an opportunity to betray him. Now we'll hear the message from Pastor Dennis, The Fragrance of Love.
Rudyard Kipling once said, "Smells are surer than sounds and sights to make the heartstrings crack." How true. I think most of us at one time or another have experienced a smell that automatically triggers memories of a person or a place or an event in our minds. For me, the smell of a farmyard brings back memories of childhood visits to my maternal grandparents' farm. The smell of a freshly baked shoofly pie immediately brings back memories of walking into my paternal grandmother Gertie's kitchen. And the smell of wood smoke brings back memories of our first home on North College Street in Palmyra, just across the street from Seltzer's Bologna Plants smokehouses. The interesting thing about our sense of smell is that we can't choose what we're going to smell. We can choose what we look at with our eyes. We can sometimes choose what we want to hear, but then again, some of us, men especially, have probably been accused at one time or another of having some selective hearing. We can choose to touch or not to touch. We all have tastes that we enjoy and tastes that we try to avoid. But our sense of smell, it doesn't give us much choice. When your dog decides to take on a skunk, the odor is unavoidable. You can't turn it off, and as hard as you try, it just seems to last. It used to be that from my home church, Spring Creek, you knew you were in Hershey because being just a few blocks from the factory, that is before they tore it down, that sweet smell of chocolate just permeated the air. We can't choose what smells come over us. And I guess maybe that's part of the point of the sense of smell. It takes control. It's just there, and somehow, some way, you have to deal with it. Sometimes what you smell is a warning of something to avoid, like a skunk. Or maybe a warning of some danger, like there's something burning on the stove. Or maybe it's something pleasant that brings a sense of joy and peace, like spring flowers blooming in your garden or my grandmother's shoe fly pie. That's the power of the sense of smell. It can take over for good or for bad. You can try to cover up an unpleasant smell with something like Febreze, but that unpleasant odor usually is still there when the Febreze wears off. Well, today is the last Sunday before we begin the season of Lent. Ash Wednesday is this coming Wednesday, the 17th. And the story that was read this morning from Mark 14 is also found in Matthew's and John's Gospels. And Matthew and Mark place the story after Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem, and John places it before. And while the chronology and some of the details are not quite the same in each Gospel, its message is the same. The stories of a woman who anoints Jesus' feet with an expensive perfume, and the fragrance of that perfume brought Jesus comfort, but also brought him honor. In Mark's version of this story, the woman remains unnamed, which is not unusual to Mark. As you read Mark's gospel, you'll find a nameless leper in chapter 1, an anonymous paralytic in chapter 2, an unnamed man with a withered hand in chapter 3, the blind man of Bethsaida in chapter 8, and an epileptic boy in chapter 9, and others. All the gospel accounts have this event occurring at a dinner hosted into a home. And Mark says the dinner is at the home of Simon the leper, while John indicates this event occurred at the home of Lazarus, Mary, and Martha, and that Mary is the woman who anointed Jesus with the expensive ointment of nard. I think Mark keeps her unnamed for a reason. Author and theology professor Gregory Jones tells a story of how he was asked to preach one Sunday at a large Episcopal church. He actually was asked to preach on our text this morning, Mark 14, 1 through 11. The church's administrative assistant called and asked Dr. Jones for some biographical information, which he dutifully sent to her. The morning he was to preach arrived, and he was seated before the assembled congregation, and he opened the bulletin, looked through the order of worship, and was horrified when he saw this note, quote, "We are grateful to have as our guest speaker this morning His Extravagant Holiness, the Reverend Dr. Gregory Jones." Well, I think Mark chose not to name people like this woman for the same reason that Dr. Jones was horrified with what he saw in that church bulletin. Mark wanted to keep the focus on Jesus. And even though Jesus says what she did will be remembered wherever the good news is preached throughout the world, this anonymous woman's story is not about honoring her. Her story is about honoring Jesus, and that's what Mark wants us to understand. Jesus said that it's what she did that will be remembered, not who she was. "She performed a good service for me," Jesus said. "She has done what she could. She's anointed my body beforehand for its burial. Her act was an act of honor and of worship." Well, at this point in Mark's gospel, Jesus is on his way up to Jerusalem. He's in Bethany, which is located on the east side of the Mount of Olives, opposite Jerusalem, which is on the west. He's enjoying a meal at the home of a man named Simon, who seems at one time to have had leprosy. Maybe he'd been healed by Jesus. We don't know that, but it's a possibility. In the midst of the dinner, an unidentified woman comes into the room. She breaks open an alabaster jar, a beautiful, carved, expensive jar that contained a fragrant and even more expensive perfume. We learn that it was worth a year's wages. The perfume is identified as nard, which is derived from a plant that grows in the Himalayan mountains of India and produces a very aromatic oil. In Mark's telling of the story, she pours the perfume over Jesus' head. Can you imagine sitting in that room and smelling the aroma of that perfume permeating Simon's house. But there was another fragrance in the room that day, one less pleasing, that would shortly make its unavoidable odor known, the fragrance of death. While the woman's action was one of beauty, honor, and worship, one that shared the fragrance of love, in Mark's telling, her story is bracketed by the unpleasant odor of impending death. Chapter 14 in Mark opens with the priests and the teachers of the religious law looking for an opportunity to capture and kill Jesus. And on the other end of the story, in verses 10 and 11, one of Jesus' disciples, Judas Iscariot, goes to the leading priests and he agrees to betray Jesus into their hands in exchange for some money. In Judas' mind, Jesus should have been putting his effort into the cause of driving out the Romans. He shouldn't be recognizing the irrational act of a crazy woman who poured expensive perfume worth a year's wages over Jesus' head. So Jesus left the dinner to go out and arrange to betray Jesus. But in between these two acts of impending death, there's this beautiful act of this timeless, nameless woman who offers to Jesus an extravagant gift of love and devotion. She commits an act of kindness in the midst of a context of impending betrayal and cruelty. She offers Jesus an offering that fills the room with the sweet fragrance of love. She finds a way. She did what she could to honor Jesus. This anonymous woman took the tremendous risk to identify with and to honor Jesus. She walked in uninvited to what was probably an all-male gathering around Simon's table. And in the eyes of some of those present, she acted foolishly and selfishly when she poured that expensive perfume on Jesus' head, when it could have been sold to help the poor. Although it's probably questionable whether their concern was really for the poor. This woman saw and understood something about Jesus that those who were closest to him were unable to see. In response to those who criticized her, Jesus recognized her act as an act of love, an anointing for his burial. At least three times in Mark's gospel prior to this account, Jesus specifically told his disciples when they got to Jerusalem, he was going to die. The third time is found in chapter 10, verses 32 through 34, where Mark writes these words. They were on the road going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus was walking ahead of them. They were amazed, and those who followed were afraid. He took the 12 aside again and began to tell them what was to happen to him, saying, "See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be handed over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death. Then they will hand him over to the Gentiles. They will mock him and spit on him and flog him and kill him, and after 3 days he will rise again." Jesus was pretty clear, wouldn't you say? Maybe this woman was among those who were following Jesus into Jerusalem, and maybe she'd overheard what Jesus said was going to happen to him in Jerusalem. It seems the disciples did not, because the very next thing you read in Mark 10 after Jesus telling them he's going to die in Jerusalem is James and John asking Jesus to give them the places of honor next to him when he comes in when he sits on his glorious throne. Whether the woman knew she was anointing Jesus for his burial might be reading more into the story than is there, but that is how Jesus understood it, how he understood her act of love. Her act of beauty and love did something for Jesus no one else was able to or tried to do. She did what she could, Jesus said. What she has done will be told in remembrance of her. And she picked up that precious bottle with its fragrant ointment, walked uninvited into Simon's house to offer her love and gratitude to the one who is in danger and in need. She did something beautiful for Jesus. and he welcomed her and her act of love. The action of this woman who anointed Jesus with expensive and fragrant oil invites us, I think, to consider two questions about our own journey with Jesus. First, are you paying attention to Jesus, to what he did and what he said? And second, what's the quality of your love for Jesus? Full of distractions. Whether it's technology, our electronic devices, or things like social media, there's plenty to distract us and blot out our vision and our ability to see Jesus clearly. Are you paying attention to Jesus? And maybe the better question is, to whom or to what are you paying attention? As Jesus was heading toward Jerusalem and telling his disciples he would die there, obviously those disciples were not paying attention. They were distracted by their own selfish ambitions, by their own preconceived notions of what was going to happen there. Jesus was going to sit on his glorious throne and they were going to have some places of honor. It was going to be great. They weren't paying attention to Jesus or what he was telling them. And just like the disciples, we can get so caught up in our own agendas, in the demands of each day, our schedules, our activities, so much so that Jesus becomes just another voice in the crowd, another thing we try to fit in. Sometimes we make Jesus into something we want him to be and not who he has revealed himself to be. In John's telling of this story, it's pretty convincing that this woman indeed probably was Mary, sister of Martha and Lazarus. They all knew Jesus from previous encounters with him. Even in that first visit that Jesus had with them, Mary chose to ignore the distractions, and she chose to sit at Jesus' feet, while Martha, the scripture says, was distracted by her many tasks. Do you remember what Jesus said to Martha when she complained Mary was leaving her with all the work? "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There's need for only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." And once again, Mary chose the better part, which will not be taken away from her. She did what she could for Jesus. She performed an act of honor and worship. She paid attention to Jesus. The others in the room only saw the wasting of an expensive jar of perfume. "Why was it wasted this way?" they asked. It seems this occasion was the last straw for Judas. He went to the chief priests in order to betray Jesus. In Matthew 24, we read that Jesus tells his disciples they must keep watch because they didn't know the day the Lord was coming. So the question for each of us is, are we keeping watch? Are we spiritually awake? Are we paying attention to what God is doing in our lives and in the world right now? Are you paying attention to Jesus, the Jesus revealed in Scripture? Or are you so distracted by your own agenda and worries that you can't see? This anonymous woman who anointed Jesus challenges us to pay attention, to keep awake, to see what God is doing. And then the second question, what's the quality of your love for Jesus? This woman of Mark 14 expressed her love for Jesus in a way that we can't. If indeed she was Mary, she once again took advantage of an opportunity to honor Jesus with her undivided attention. She did what she could. She took advantage of the time and the circumstances to honor Jesus with her anointing. So how can we show our love for Jesus? Let me suggest two things: through our devotion and our obedience. Jesus said in Mark 8, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it." You see, devotion, the devotion Jesus is looking for isn't just a Sunday morning go to church devotion. It's a life-consuming devotion, a devotion to Jesus which impacts our lives, changes the way we act, the way we think, the way we spend our time, a devotion that puts our life's focus on Him and not all of those distractions. It's a devotion that's evidenced in our worship, our life of prayer, our devotion to the faith community. It's an intentional intimacy with Jesus. Like with the woman of Mark 14, it's in serving Him and offering Him the best we have, doing what we can for Him. When James and John asked Jesus if they could sit in the places of honor next to Jesus, the other disciples became indignant. So Jesus called them all together and told them, "Whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant. Whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." We demonstrate our love for Jesus when we live in obedience to his teaching, a teaching based on love. Love for Jesus and love for our neighbor. A love that's lived out in love for God and in unselfish love for others. Like this woman of Mark 14, our love is to be lavish, not stingy, not doled out in bits and pieces, but a love that's poured out extravagantly and shamelessly as an offering to Christ and to our neighbor, an offering of the same kind of love with which God loves us. The woman who anointed Jesus that day, what she did was risky. It was controversial, but it was a beautiful thing. She committed an act of love and kindness, an act of devotion. She honored Jesus with an extravagant outpouring of herself that filled Simon's house with a sweet fragrance of love. Her action was an act of beauty, of love, an act of service to Jesus in the midst of all the plotting and impending brutality. The smell of death was in the air, but for the moment, for that moment, the fragrance of love had overcome it. Our acts of love, devotion, and obedience can fill our world with the same sweet fragrance of love. Despite all of that hostile power that was arraying against Jesus, this anonymous woman offered a beautiful gift of love and devotion. That fragrance of love she brought to Simon's house, at least for that moment, overcame the stench of hate. She did what she could. All Jesus asks of us is to do the same. Amen. Let's stand and sing together of our love for Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. shared with the children this morning, I share with you. God loves you. Go in his love. Go sharing the love of Jesus. Go with devotion to Jesus and in obedience to Jesus, and share that wonderful love, that love that you have for Jesus, with others, and go in his peace. Amen.